Touchdown Tampa Bay, you're listening to the PewterCast.
Welcome to the PewterCast. I am Brent Allen, your host, joined as always by my good friend, Ren, raising the flags, Dax. Ren.
Yes.
Buccaneers win their first playoff game, not in 13 years, but in about, 18 years, I guess it's been.
It has.
What was the final score? 31-28. I don't know. Whatever it was. I just saw 20, it and I don't 22? Even remember it. 20, yeah.
23, 24.
I don't know. It was something. It was more 20, than it should have been.
23. Well, 23 points, I mean.
Yeah. But whatever, buddy. Buccaneers win. Bucks win. Bucks win. Bucks win.
Yes, they did.
That's that chemistry that we've been told about.
That's right. I know. Huh? My turn? What? Heineke gave us a little scare. But,
oh, my gosh.
He just kept picking up first down after first down with his legs and making big plays with his legs. Mm-hmm. But basically, the Buccaneers beat the Washington football team with Leonard Fournette and Cameron Brate.
Yeah. Leonard Fournette, what about him? Kyle Driver sends us a super chat right up here at the top of the show. Waited 18 years for this. Go Bucks. That's absolutely right. Absolutely right. And thank you for that, Kyle. Definitely appreciate you.
Good
definitely
to see you
appreciate
again, Kyle.
All the super chats over the last few weeks. We got another one in from Lap Gonzalez. We got to do a lot better than this if we want to make a deep run.
Yep, we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I want to talk about
the Yeah.
I would like to enjoy this before I start picking apart what we did wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to enjoy it before we pick it apart?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I like it. They're saying in the chat room, Brent stays on for another week. Yeah, I sent out a chat. I was like, come on, Bucks. Don't let this be my last game because I've got at least three more in me. I got at least three more in me,
you can stay COVID free for three more weeks.
I'm good. Yeah, I can. I got at least three more in me. I'm good to go. But oh my word. This was the Bucks were never out of control of this game, but there were a lot of times where I felt like I was getting out of control.
Yeah.
Or like it was getting out of control. Cause you're like, we are like,
they never lost the lead.
No, they never did.
No.
Right.
No.
But there's a lot of, I can't explain. It didn't feel like this was not like our best game moving into the playoffs.
They scored 33 points.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah.
They missed two extra points.
Yeah.
So they scored 33 points over, had 500 yards of offense and went 1-for-4 in the red zone.
That's crazy.
They still scored over 30 points.
They went 1-for-4 in the red zone.
Yeah.
That's it.
What do you mean? That's it. That's terrible.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers went 1-for-4 in the red zone.
Yeah. The other two touchdowns came from a deep pass to Brown and deep pass to Godwin.
That's what I mean. That's it. That's all we did was 1-for-4. Wow.
And then you get the run by Fournette and all the other times we were in the red zone, we kicked field goals. So,
yeah.
I mean, putting up 31, really 33 points, and then putting up 500 yards, I really don't see what all the hubbub was about.
As far as not
people
being
freaking out, worrying, like Heineke's going to beat us. Like, I thought you said this team was they're going to beat this team. Like, it was going to be a piece of cake. Like,
okay. No. All right. I got to clear this up right now because this has been the fight for the week, or at least for the last 24 hours since we did our last podcast. If Mike Evans did not play tonight's game.
Yeah.
Do you still hold to the idea that they should have sat Mike Evans?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let it forever be known that Ren has retracted a statement. Go ahead, Ren. Explain why you do not think they should have sat Mike Evans for tonight's game.
He was healthier than I thought he was going to be.
All right. Fair enough. Did he worry you there for a minute when he went out there after catching that next to last pass?
He was gimpy a couple times. He slipped once. I'm like, there it is. Knee's not structurally sound. All his ligaments have been stretched.
Right.
Less than seven days ago.
Uh-huh.
You don't need him. Like, you don't need him.
Right.
But he looked fine. But yeah, yeah. And then that one time it looked like he got kicked, he maybe crunched one of his balls or something. Mm-hmm. And he was out for a play or two. And I was like, oh God. Yeah, I mean, I still think the Bucks would have won if he wasn't out there. You know, they would have used Scotty Miller more. They would have used Antonio Brown more, which I was shocked that they kind of went away from him.
Yeah.
You know, after the touchdown, you never saw him again until that screen pass that, you know, right before they missed, right before they kicked their, I think, second to last field goal, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because their last field goal was that Godwin. And then if Godwin dropped five passes in a row.
I think he dropped a total of six on the night. Like, it was a lot.
Yeah. And they weren't like one in the first. I mean, they were like five passes in a row. Like Brady threw to him like five of those seven passes. Like Brady threw seven passes, five of them to Godwin, and Godwin dropped them all. And that's when it got a little dicey.
Were you surprised that Brady kept going to Godwin? Like
I was expecting to be like just pointing to the sidelines, like
yeah, get off. Just get out of here. Right.
But then he went back to him and I think it was on a second down and made it like third and seven or third and three, picked up like seven. I'm like, okay, we're good again.
Yeah.
But I mean, those are like the touchdown pass, okay. The screen pass a little low, but you should have hang on to it. But that one where after they went three and out and then the fumble and then they come back and they throw him and he drops it in the bucket over the corner in front of the safety and Godwin just hits him in the shoulder and falls. It's like, oh man. And that was like a sixth drop. I'm like, oh my God.
Right.
Like, what is going on? But right. You know, that's where the hiccup was, an unfortunate fumble by Vaughn. Poor guy. But I was, you know, where I was most upset is where the hell Rojo was.
Yeah.
And I still don't know what's wrong with him.
Well,
I mean, I settled down. I'm like, okay, the Bucks are just gonna they're gonna try to keep the ball away from Washington here because Washington's gonna go is not gonna score like on half of their possessions.
Uh-huh.
You know, so if you only give them six, then they can only score 21 points. I'm thinking maybe that's what they're gonna do. Then I heard Rojo wasn't playing. Like, what happened?
They didn't say. All the communications department was they tweeted out somewhere like in the middle of the first quarter, maybe right at the beginning of the second quarter, they said Rojo, he's got a quad injury and he's questionable to return.
Okay, so the quad.
And the only thing we can think of is that maybe it was in warmups. I put out a thing like he slipped on his way to the water cooler because
hyperextend his knee.
Yeah, like to get an injury report or an injury update on a player who has not seen the field for the game yet. That's funny. I'm sorry. That's funny. I don't care who you are. You can have a reason for it, but that's funny. I like G Vegas's comment that he put back up here a while ago. He said we put up 31 points on a Washington defense that never gave up more than 30. And that's with our wide receiver dropping so many passes.
Without Rojo.
And without Rojo. Right. Right. Yeah. Which, okay, holy cow. And I'm sure we're going to talk about this.
Vaunted pass rush that was supposed to give Tom Brady fits.
Right.
Like, they never got near him until Larson came in and he gave up two swim moves to the same guy.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which two sacks is a lot in a game, but still.
Sure.
I mean,
right.
You know, I kept saying all week, I'm like, I don't like, oh, watch out for Washington's front four. I'm like, their leading guy has like eight sacks.
Yeah.
And it's not Chase Young. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Okay.
Yeah. I think Chase Young, I looked it up yesterday, had like 7.5, but he didn't get one tonight.
No.
You know, Chase Young was kept in check all game long.
Yeah.
He might have had one play. He was.
And so was Sweat, the guy who's leading the team. Worf locked him up. He got that sack because Brady's slow and couldn't get back to the line of scrimmage fast enough.
Right.
And the guy went all the way around Worf, and then Brady, you know, broke to that side. Mm-hmm. So Tristan didn't have the leverage anymore, and he just chased Brady down from behind for like a 1 yard sack.
Right. Yeah.
But boy, Donovan Smith should get some props, man.
You know, they're saying that definitely over in the chat. Shooter and Stash says a lot of you better send Donovan Smith a thank you card at least heading out there. Yeah, Donovan, man. I mean, he's come on. There was a couple of times in this particular game that it was a quarterback hit. I don't think it was a sack. But there was a spot where like Donovan had his guy and he was touching him all the way to Brady. And then like he pulls his hands off like this. And I know what he was trying to do is he was trying to avoid the holding call.
Right.
Like he didn't want the holding call, but it really looked like he just like stepped his hands back and let the guy like go after Brady. I mean, Donovan,
which he tends to do.
He does. Well, Ren, before we get too much further, I do want to give a quick shout out and hello to everybody who is joining us live on Twitter, on Facebook, on Periscope at pewtercast.live, on Facebook. I don't know if I mentioned that. Wherever you guys are listening to us, or maybe you're one of the many thousands who will listen to us later on the podcast feed. Hello to all of you and welcome to the PewterCast Live. This is the game, or this is the show. I'm sorry. This is the show where we get to open up our phone lines. We open up the video chat for anybody who wants to call in and talk about tonight's game. Or maybe if you're so inclined and you're so, I don't want to say brave, but if you know, if you're so inclined to put your face out there, you could join us here in the video chat as well. I will remind everybody, and I see we have lots of different people in the chat room tonight. This is a Buccaneers fan podcast. This is a Buccaneers fan-centric show. However, fans of all teams are welcome in here. Our only rule is don't be a dick. Like, come in, have conversation, you know, let's have a good time, but we're not going to tolerate any name-calling or any stupidity like that. So, but everybody's welcome. If you guys want to call in, I'll go ahead and open up the phone lines and the video chat. I'll drop those links over here in the chat room in just a moment. But you guys can do that, and we will take your phone calls. Talking about tonight's game, Buccaneers' first playoff game in 13 years, first playoff win in 18 years. And, man,
18 years.
I know. You had hair. You tweeted.
And that was 13 years ago.
That was 13 years ago. I have never known you with hair.
Yeah.
Like ever.
People haven't.
Yeah.
I wasn't a picture taker, so I don't really know if I have one. Like I might have to go back to my high school yearbook. That wouldn't really do it justice. I don't remember what I look like with hair.
There you go. Well, hey, let's talk about this real quick before we got a couple people lining up in the room down there. Oh no. Thanks for the super chat, tall Florida guy. Bad news. Kappa has broken his ankle.
Wow.
That's not good. That is bad news.
Not good.
No.
Because Larson was not good.
No. And hey, is not the guy to replace him either. And who's that? Stinney. Where was Stinney? Stinney's done okay filling in, I think, everyone.
Where was anybody?
I know, right?
They'll figure it out. They might. Right. They might.
Florida Tall Guy, thank you for that, by the way. Thank you. Definitely appreciate it.
I about to say they might do what they did last time, but I'm like, oh yeah, Shipley's not on the team. Right. I was like, move Jensen Agar. I'm like, oh yeah, they can't do that.
Right.
Who is their backup center right now?
Ours?
Yeah.
We brought him in. Might be Larson? It's Allie. It's got to be Allie.
Nah, okay, we'll figure it out. It doesn't matter.
I don't know.
We'll talk about that later. Bucks win.
Now, here, I just want to put that out there. So the Bucks win with the Rams winning over the whoever it was they played before us. Who would they play?
The Seahawks. Football team.
With the Rams winning over the Seahawks, that means that we will not face Green Bay next week. There's no way that that's happening.
That's right.
What that does mean is next week, if the Bears win against the Saints, we will host the Rams at Ray J next week.
Yes, and we will storm the castle.
if the Saints win, or maybe I should say when the Saints win, we will go to New Orleans and we will face the Saints for the third time this season.
Yes.
When it's down. So that's the game for Bucks fans to watch tomorrow. Is that Saints Bears game? If you're laying odds, Ren, where are we going next week? Are we staying home or are we flying to New Orleans?
We're going to New Orleans.
There you go. I believe that is true. Ren, we've got our first person up in the chat room here, Corey from Nashville, wanting to come in and talk to us. Corey, talk to us, buddy.
Hey guys, just excuse me for a moment because I had I was taking shots on every touchdown and turnover, which I should have had. Should have had two turnovers, but. I took a double shot for the victory. So I might be a little emotional. I might be a little emotional here, but you know, fanatic, bro. And watching that Bills fan crying in the stands at the end of that game, like the emotion is real. Like, you got about 32 guys. Like the last time we won a playoff game, 14. I've been a basketball player most of my life, so I was just getting into football as a Bucks fan, and I grew up in Atlanta. Right after the Dirty Bird craze, you know what I mean? So like, I was a Bucks fan. I was by myself. And to watch us win that game, first of all, Thomas Patrick Brady. Now, y'all know how I feel about Jameis. I'm going to say that I don't care. Y'all know how I feel about him. But we do not win this fucking game without Tom Brady.
No way.
I know. I agree.
I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah.
We're not in the playoffs without Tom Brady.
I love Jameis to death. I think we make the playoffs with that extra seed. I just thought we were a playoff team regardless. I thought second year. But anyway, I digress.
What were you drinking, Corey?
Absolutely phenomenal tonight. Tequila, Don Julio.
There you go.
I don't know. I feel like my mind is clear. I drove home and I was, but I had, I took a shot and I took a bite of a cutie. The cutie after it, and it was a perfect chaser. It was like orange juice. It was, but anyway, Tom Brady tonight being NFL quarterback that has been as successful as he has been.
Mm-hmm.
How fitting? Think about this, guys. And this is the part that really got me a little emotional. How fitting is it that Mike Evans made that catch on a drive that we really needed to either get some time off the clock or at least get some points? He makes that catch. Fitting is it on the drive that got the field goal, the
okay.
put up eight,
yep.
The first play of the drive when they, yeah. How fitting is that? Right. How fitting is it that Levante David gets that guy sacked on that last drive?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how you can't write this shit, man.
Right.
Like, you can't write it. That second half from Mike Evans, like, the guy is such a damn professional. Like I said, sometimes he annoys me because he's such a great guy. And at wide receiver, you know, we're used to the divas. We've been around for the T.O.s, the Randys. You know, we've been around even recently as Odell. And he's so professional, but he goes out there and he hyperextends his knee. It looks absolutely horrific.
Yep.
The guy comes out in the half against a Washington team. Guys, they were a really good defense. If they were nothing else, they were a really good defense. And Tom Brady's savvy and Mike Evans' toughness just willed our offense. And Cameron Brunch is being able to attack in between the hashes because we really needed Gronk blocking on that line. We really yep. needed him staying in, helping on some protection. But my rant is going to go against the NFL.
Okay.
Tristan Wirfs was the best right tackle in the NFL this season, okay? I was not a better right tackle when you look at what he had to do. He had to come into a new team, new system, rookie, play with a veteran like Tom Brady. There was not a better right tackle. I'm sorry. There wasn't.
Right.
And to not get anything is infuriating.
Mm-hmm.
It's infuriating because I'm sick of people overlooking this team. I've been dealing with this shit my whole fandom of people overlooking buckets like we don't exist. Tristan Wirfs was the best right tackle in the entire NFL all year. And to watch that young man in his first playoff game be a complete stalwart.
Yep.
Stalwart. He was absolutely great. You award people like Nelson coming in, and we know what it is to play guard in the NFL. You get the center, you get double teams, you get chips to play tackle one of the These pass rushers are getting hundreds of millions. They move Aaron Donald to end so he could get paid more than he would at D-tackle. And you get this rookie in here, he gets no respect. We don't talk about him enough. He's Offensive Rookie of the Year. I understand what Herbert did, but they won seven damn games. I don't care. This guy is on a team that just won his first playoff game in 14 damn years. I don't want to hear shit else. It's no competition. 16 years.
Corey,
I'm sorry. It's no competition.
Corey, you taking it? Hey, brother. Hey, listen. We're 2 minutes from Sunday, and you're taking us to church, brother. You taking us to church?
Hey, listen. I'm gone. I just had to rant for a second. I'm very emotional right now. Go Bucks! Go Bucks!
Come on.
Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go. Playoff game number two coming up, man. Corey.
Congratulations to Corey.
Yeah, absolutely. Corey has become one of my absolute favorite weekly callers that comes in.
You can't see him, guy, everyone on YouTube, but like there's pictures of everybody in the queue.
Yeah.
And when you drop off, you're still back in the queue. And Corey just got in it. He was in it, man. The camera.
He was pointing,
yelling, screaming. I think he's crying now. He's in his car in front of his house. He's just bawling.
Corey, I love you, brother. Corey, I love you, man. I love you. Hey, Ren, I want to go real quick, and I'm going to jump the line a little bit here just because we got some international guys calling in. So those of you waiting,
right,
please understand. But I know it's got to be like 6 o'clock in the morning for these fellas over here. First of all, guys, from the UK Bucks, has your heart rate calmed down a little bit? I know you said you were coming in, but you had to get yourself right first. You guys doing okay over there?
Brent, it was touch and go there a little bit. We were getting a little bit overexcited on this side of the pond, after saying that last quarter especially. Things were getting heated.
I got a question. What does it look like for a Brit to get like super excited?
Yeah.
Is that you guys going, oh, cheerio, pip pip chaps? Woo! Like what does that actually look like to you guys?
We were considering doing a live stream, but we decided that actually when we're not on a reputable show like yourselves, we're a little bit too sweary for things where we get a bit excited. There's a lot of effing and blinding. There's a lot of what's going on. There's
right.
a lot of things get bad.
Yes. When Washington football team scored that last touchdown on Sean Murphy Bunting.
Oh my gosh.
Like, if I was on the bench of the Buccaneers, I might have strangled him. Like, I might have.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a yeller and I'm not a screamer. Sometimes it's totally silent because, like, I have the game on my TV, volume off. I have the game on my tablet, volume off. And I'm watching the game on my phone with my headphones on because that's the feed I get first. So I can watch the play and then watch the play on my tablet and then watch it again on TV. Mm-hmm. And then I can look back at my phone and it's the next play. So it'll be totally dead silent in the house and you'll just hear this, come on. And then it's totally dead silent again. Like, so that's about as animated as I get, man. I'm with you. There were some points in this game. And I was trying to play it down at the beginning. There were some points in this game where I'm just laying there totally silent, not a sound in the house. And my heart's just like, I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
wait, they're up by you're the guy who came in here and said, I don't get what the big deal was.
I know I did.
Hey guys, talk to us about your thoughts on tonight's game. Go ahead.
I think the important thing was, guys, that we got the job done. But defense, I think, certainly some areas for improvement, certainly either on the play calling or the coverage. But
I don't think he played man once.
Yeah.
I don't. I understand that was a decision that they made. And eventually, you know, at the end, they won. But, God, yeah, it was just like, the defensive scheme, it wasn't bad, but it let Heineke make some plays that I think if they would have went with another scheme, wouldn't have been there.
Yeah,
I'm sorry,
sure.
I keep cutting you off.
Yeah, I think going on from your point earlier about asking about what it looks like when things aren't going well, we've got a UK Buccaneers WhatsApp group, uh-huh. and let me tell you, the F-bombs were flying left, right, and centre. There was no control. It was people. I was on the edge, particularly. A lot of people were still remaining calm, but it's just, it's one of those things, isn't it? When all that matters afterwards is that you've got the win and you're on to next week. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be in the playoffs next week, and that is all that matters.
Right.
You get no points for style. You get no points for being pretty. Uh-huh. It's all about making the next round of the tournament, and that's what we did tonight, ultimately.
There you go. I love it. And at the end of the day, you're right. Because it doesn't matter if it was 1 point, 11 points, or however many points we actually won this game by. As long as you're the one that's moving on, that's ultimately what matters. And people, look, I mean, I see them in the chat room. Again, I remind everybody's welcome. Just don't be an asshole. You know, a lot of people are saying, look, you know, who we're facing next week, be it the Rams or the Saints, either one. It's not the Washington football team. It's not Atlanta. It's not Detroit. It's not Minnesota. We're moving on to, you know, I think they said on TV, the Buccaneers only won against one playoff team this year. It lost to all the other playoff teams when they faced them in the regular season. So the Bucs definitely have to step up, and whatever's going on defense needs to get it together. Because, you know, people, I mean, freaking Tyler Heineke or Taylor, whatever his name is. I mean, he chewed up a lot of that secondary.
This would have been a game for Devin White.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Devin White would have chased that guy down and, you know, we would have won 40-10. But I was shocked that Bowles, after the kind of like halfway through the second quarter, just didn't go, okay, we'll play this. Don't beat us over the top, mix it up with a little man underneath, but mostly play zone underneath. But I'm going to take somebody and spy Heineke, like just spy him, because anytime they were in trouble, he would turn a sack into a 4-yard gain or a first down. Most of their chunk plays came from Heineke. You know, they had some nice passes, but every team's going to, you know, you're not playing the Jets. Like, teams are going to get 20-yard passes, 17-yard passes. They're going to get first downs. They're going to score. But every time the Bucs kind of had him wrangled in and it was like, okay, we can get the ball back here.
Yeah.
He would squirt loose and pick up a big, huge chunk and usually a first down. And I was a little shocked that they didn't spy him. Now, they did I know they did it on the very last drive. They started spying him, and I think they spied him a little bit. I can't remember so much on the drive before that. We ended up scoring anyway. But you know, I was, like I said, I just wish now this defensive game plan, we're not going to see it next week, no matter who we play, because it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. And so we just have to trust this coaching staff that this was their decision. And hey, at the end of the day, like you guys said, it worked. Survive in advance.
Right. Right.
You know, there'll only be 8 teams playing after tomorrow, and we're one of them.
Yeah. There you go.
We've seen this kind of thing this year, though, haven't we? Where we've had game plans that don't make sense to us who aren't involved in the game plan decisions, whether it be the Chiefs game or whether it be other games where you think, what on earth is this team doing? And this was one of those, wasn't it, where we just the pass rush never got home. It just never got there. And that meant that the secondary ultimately looked worse than what we hope it is. And next week, that is something that for sure they're going to have to look at. And I just wonder whether you guys think that having missed Devin White throughout that period of the last couple of weeks, do you think that Devin White will make, you know, a huge difference in the pass rush next week or not really?
I let me feel this one first, Ren, and then you can tell me if I'm absolutely wrong or if you agree with me or have a different take on it altogether.
Can I answer beforehand?
Do what?
Can I answer beforehand?
No. yes, I think Devin White will make that much.
Smoking stogies over here.
Yes, I do think Devin White will make that much of a difference.
It's victory cigar.
There you go.
I like it.
I do think Devin White will make that much of a difference. However, we have also seen lots of games this year with Devin White perfectly healthy and in there playing, and the secondary still had issues and was still getting carved up. So Devin White will be a big improvement over what we saw tonight. However, it does not mean that our secondary issues are going to be fixed. Ren, what would you say?
I'm with you, except for I think Todd Bowles figured out what to do with Devin White the second half of the first Atlanta game. Is, you know, like he just play him like spy the back. And it would have been a great game for him because he could have. I was shocked that Washington didn't throw to their backs out of the backfield. Like that's kind of like half, three quarters of their offense. Uh-huh. But they decided not to go with that, probably because of Heineke being able to run and not Alex Smith. And I think that caught the Bucs a little bit off guard about how much they didn't do that. But you just put Devin White and you spot, like, if you shut down Alvin Kamara, the Saints don't go, you know, just don't. And I don't understand how team after team after team, like you just have to, I don't care if their tight end gets 9 catches for 120 yards. You know what he's not doing? Scoring 6 touchdowns. That's what he's not doing.
Right.
So, like, you know, just allocate a little more resources to Alvin Kamara. And if, you know, if Drew Brees doesn't throw to him because you got him double covered out of the backfield, good, you know, great. Yeah. You know, if every time he runs out in the flat or runs a wheel route, you put Devin White on him, fine. Like, you know, but I guess to answer your question, I got off track there a little bit. When they started sending Devin White, like spying the back, if the back stays, he goes, you know, and if the back goes out, he goes out with the back in the flat. Like I'm going to have to trust Devin White to be under control for the playoff game because he gives us our best chance to take away what the Saints do the best, and that's Alvin Kamara. And I'm willing to bet if I was a defensive coordinator, play that one-on-one matchup all day long. Kamara's going to win some, but you know what he's not going to do? He's not going to score 6 touchdowns. And there's going to be a lot more tackles for loss. And there's going to be a lot more. And there's going to be a lot more sacks than they would. Because they definitely proved tonight, like you guys said, the pass rush didn't get home without any help. Just didn't. Yeah. Wasn't close. And, you know, I know Heineke's way more slippery than Breeze, and Breeze might have, like, at one point, Heineke was looking for a place to go down. And then he ran in and scored a touchdown. Like he was looking to fall down. All you had to do was touch him.
Yeah.
And then like the seas parted and he made a, you know, really athletic play and dove right at the pylon. It was really smart. He didn't care about the goal line. He dove right at the pylon.
Sorry, Ren. I was just going to quickly say, I mean, we can all see that Heineke can use his legs, but ultimately there's a reason that Washington evaluated that guy as a third or fourth string quarterback. That like, fine, he had a good night tonight, but ultimately they have seen far more of this guy than we have, and they saw enough to say that he's not as good as Alex Smith, not as good as Dwayne Haskins, not as good as whoever the other guy is that went off an injury reserve. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it is obviously concerning that never worked, but we have to have faith that next week the coaching staff will get it right and be better next week. It has to be, or else, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah, we're not going to see the soft zone, so.
No. Right. All right. Hey, guys, listen, I hate to do this to you. You know, I love talking to you, but I've got people lining up tonight. So, guys, thank you so much. Listen, we're in it for one more week. 1 week at a time, we're in it for one more week. So we'll talk to you guys next week when the Bucks take on probably the Saints. One way or the other, we'll be here, all right? Hey, Prime, what's up?
What's
hey, listen, I don't normally do this. And, you know, normally you guys come in, we try to let you have your full say. We've got so many people lining up. If we could try to keep everybody to a little bit of a time limit tonight. And that's not just for you, Prime, that's for everybody.
No, just it's so you know. Prime.
Do what?
It's definitely for Prime. That's why we're putting the rule in.
Right, Prime right. Prime can have his own show. It'd be the prime time. Prime time with Prime. Prime, go ahead, man.
Boxer shorts on his head for some reason.
Hey, man, look, man. I'm COVID kicking my ass right now, so.
Oh, are you, man? Sorry, dude. Sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah. Feel better.
I will. Hey, so look, man. No, I'm not going to be long. There's a, first of all, fucking amazing that we won. You know what I'm saying? Go Bucks, let's fucking go. I love it. You know what I mean? There were issues in this game. We're glad we won. And this is not about style points. It's about process, right? There's a difference. So mm-hmm. win, but if you're looking at the process and going, yo, this process is broken and it won't work against the teams that we believe are going to be left in the playoffs, that's something that we got to point out, right? So First of all, Mike Evans is a goddamn god, right? The man's a beast, flat-out beast. He should play every fucking game, and he is 60% or better.
Yeah, all right.
Whatever happened with Chris Godwin tonight, he needs to fix that shit.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was bad.
We have never seen Godwin drop passes like this.
Right.
I would take that as a good sign, and I say that because we won the game with Godwin playing uncharacteristically bad, right?
I expect
to play like that next week. Yeah,
that was bad. Rojo rookie year bad, and we still scored over 30 points.
Right, and that's what I'm saying.
So, against the best defense left in the playoffs. Jesus.
All right, the defense. Listen, I don't want to hear any accolades given to this defense by any of the talking heads or whatever. Our defense played like shit. Like, we're glad we won. And Taylor Heineke, bro, boy, balled out. Flat out. Unflappable. Get his man all the credit in the world. And they need to sign him for next year. But the defensive plan and the execution were both trash.
Hmm.
Both of them were trash. Like, I don't know how much man we played, but the zone
Ren says zero.
I didn't see any. Yeah. I know it can't be zero, but I don't remember seeing any.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and would you agree with me that even the players who you're only used to seeing them make plays, like Carlton Davis or Winfield. Winfield did make one play, but
right.
they weren't in the screen to make plays.
Yeah.
They just weren't.
Yeah.
Washington's wide receivers were always open, and then here comes Carlton Davis, somebody flying at the last second to push him over, right?
Yeah, especially early.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we have to fix it. I don't know. I haven't looked. Obviously the game just happened, so I have no freaking clue why it was so broken. But if we play defense like that next week, we're gonna get run out the building, regardless of which team we're playing. So we have to change that. I agree with you. This game was telling me for Devin White.
Yeah.
Flat out.
Yeah.
Taylor, one of those runs by Heineke, he would have got decapitated if Devin White was actually playing.
Yeah. A lot of those first down runs would have been like 5-yard slides.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. This is, so I'm not worried about Kevin Minter being in the game and being a little slow footed because it won't, you know, White will be back next week. So there's some things about the game, the good things that I took away. Another good thing, because I don't want everything to be negative, a good thing to take away from this game was the O-line holding up.
Oh, yeah. Again, great game by the O-line.
Yes. O-line held up, kept Brady clean. I will say this. I don't know if y'all remember, but toward the beginning of the game, they did some split screen deal showing a rep with Tristan Wirfs and also a rep with Donovan Smith, and both of them won the rep. But the way they win their reps is so different. Tristan Wirfs is on the right side of the screen looking like a fucking wall. right? He's just standing, he's standing there like this, has his man say, Donovan, he won his rep, but I was in the living room cracking up, and he's just like flailing all over the place.
Right, right.
And I was thinking, I'm like, Tristan is so good that he makes you realize even more, like, the problems with Donovan Smith.
Yeah, I saw your tweet. I saw your tweet during the middle of the game about that, Brian. Yeah.
They showed a rep where Chase Young never touched Donovan Smith and got around him like by basketball moves. He flashed his hands in his face and Donovan went to grab him and then like got off balance and went forward and Chase went around him and Brady had already let go of the ball. Donovan never touched him. He like juked him.
Yeah.
And just like, it was like, whoa, but again, Chase Young didn't have any. He had a couple of pressures, but he didn't have any sacks, man. And you know, at this point, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the oil, for God's sakes. Like you know, it's with Tristan, it's kind of like with Brady. You know, it's like who's your sword? And people are gonna give it to Fournette because like he had a big game for us, and people are gonna give it to Mike Evans because he's a warrior. But no one's gonna give it to Brady. No one's gonna give it to Brady. You know, just.
You
know,
because you expect him to be great.
Expect him to be great. And Tristan already fallen into that.
Yeah.
If Brady does not process before the snap at GOAT level and process after the snap so quickly and so well, we have sacks tonight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of I'm not saying every other quarterback, but there are a lot of other quarterbacks who, if they were playing tonight for us, we have probably 3 sacks or so more. So, and Brady is not going to get credit for that, you know.
Yeah.
But this is why we brought him in.
And he shouldn't. He's been playing this game for 20 some years. He shouldn't begin that. This should be normal to him. So he
doesn't deserve it.
Yeah. So, all right, Prime, you got anything else for us before I let you go, man? I got him stacking up on me here.
Yeah. Lastly, man, credit to shout out to Leonard Fournette for. Mm-hmm. I guess he was saving all of his catches for the playoffs.
Right.
So
Brady was beating him too.
Yeah, man.
Yes. And Fournette was catching them like he actually knows how to catch.
Right. Godwin couldn't, but Fournette sure as hell was.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, Fournette, like, took all of Godwin's catching powers. And, hey, look, that's what it takes. Fuck it. We got enough wide receivers. We need a pass catcher running back.
There you go.
Infinity stone out there.
Yeah.
The catching stone.
Hey, look, thank y'all, man. I know y'all got a bunch of other people. Go Bucks. I'll see y'all next week, bro.
Well, Prime, get better, buddy. Get better. Yeah. Stay well, stay healthy, and get better, man. All right, we'll talk to you later. Thanks, Prime. All right, Ren, hey, we got a caller. Let's go out to the phone lines here. Somebody who is calling
everybody in video chat. Hang on.
Yeah. They all know. I told them all there's a caller coming up right after Prime here. You are on the line here with Brent and Ren. Who do we got here tonight?
Hey, guys, it's Chris.
Hey, Chris, what's going on, buddy?
First time caller here.
Oh, thanks for calling. Where are you calling from?
Jacksonville, actually.
Hey, there you go. No, we're not going to do that. Not on this one.
No, don't start that. I hate that. That's like my least favorite chant in all of football.
It's horrible, isn't it? It's horrible.
But it's terrible. It's awful. But we're not here to talk about the Jags. First of all, Brent, I just want to say thank you. I've been a longtime listener of the show. First time calling in, but this has got to feel great to have your first Instant Cast or Peter Cast Live, whatever you're calling it now, to celebrate a playoff win. Wanted to join the call for that and say thank you for all the years of content that I've had in Jacksonville when it's been tough to find stuff as an out-of-market fan. But, you know, it sucks because I've been looking up on Twitter today or, you know, after the game, and everybody's talking about how, you know, the Bucs had such an easy schedule for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. They get to go in and play Washington, and it's just like, just enjoy it, guys. It's our first playoff win in a long time.
Right.
And that is super exciting. Brady's first year coming in, new season. I mean, we're all excited about the weapons, and I'm happy about that. I love seeing Mike. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw, I just looked and I was surprised. He had over 100 yards today.
It was like 116 or something like that.
You look at me. It was like 119. And I'm just like, dude, that's my guy, man. I just looked and I love Godwin.
Mm-hmm.
I love Godwin too, but, you know, I love watching us lean on Mike. It was a great effort. You know, the defense, it sucks, but you know what? It's crazy because I heard you talk about it, Ren, earlier. If Devin White was in the game, how different would this have been? And I don't think that Haneke gets those, you know, extra runs. I don't think he breaks open and scrambles for first downs and extends those. And that, to me, would have been a blowout. And if Godwin would have just made some of those catches that came his way, you're talking about this being a 40-10 game.
Yeah.
Right? It was so close. And if people are like talking about how just the offense came out slow, and they put up 30 points over what? The
they
best
the first two
in the
times
playoffs?
They touched the ball.
Yeah. I sat there and I was looking at it. I was just like, okay, it seems like they're in command. And then I was thinking about it as they were playing. I was watching the defense kind of playing that soft zone the whole time. And I was just like, they're going to sit there and just say that they won't be able to be outscored. Like, they are banking on the fact that Washington will not put up enough points to beat them. And they don't care if they drive an entire quarter. They just know that they're going to go down and score points the next time they get the ball. Field goal, touchdown, doesn't matter. It's just that Washington won't. And it seemed like they stuck to that. And, it, you know, I don't know if that's right or wrong, but that's maybe the sanity that I'm trying to find and how bad the defense was. But, you know, it seemed to hold true because it was just letting them move the ball down the field. And then when it came time, it was like, okay, Brady goes back down, puts us up by 8 again. And you're like, okay, you know, you feel fine. Yeah. So I know you guys got a lot of people calling in, just wanted to call in and, you know, really, again, say thank you, Brent, for everything.
Yeah,
you know, appreciate what you did over the years. I know why you're doing it. And it just got to feel good for you to celebrate. So I wanted to give a call in and, you know, give you that thanks. All right.
You got it, man. Thank you so much. Definitely. Thank you so much. I got to tell you, it's if you're going to go out, this is a feeling to go out on. I got to tell you, after what we've done the last 4 years, 5 years, however long it's been, you always want to go out on top. This has been fun. And we have at least one more.
I'm going to tell you Brent Elway.
Brent Elway. let's see here. Where there was something. All right. Hey, let's go over to, we got another person calling in. Lots of them. I told you, man, they're all calling in. They're all lining up. Big Fudge joining us live on the PewterCast. What's up, buddy?
Hey,
yo,
man.
What's going on? I guess Prime's going so I can breathe now. There how you guys doing?
I was getting a little scared. I'm like, I'll be right back.
My computer got a virus.
Right. What is this phantom power? Does that send stuff through the line? What's going on?
Why not? 5G, man. 5G.
Yeah, 5G, it gets you. That COVID gets you, man. 5G, I know, right? Man, tonight it was a good game, but defense was a little sluggish. But my main gripe besides SMB stinking was the play, not the play call, the officiating.
Mm.
Like, some of the officiating was just bad. Like, I don't know if you guys agree, but I think that was a fumble.
Oh, yeah, it was a fumble.
It was a fumble.
And a clear recovery by the Bucks.
Yep.
But then they say forward progress stopped. I was like, I don't really think that should cancel a fumble.
How do you tackle someone and as they're being tackled forward call it the ball dead because of forward progress? Like, when is that ever a thing? Like,
I've never known it to be a thing.
Like, I know you were falling forward, but right when I knew you were going to get tackled, I called forward progress. So, oh, you missed the first down by a yard. Like, what is that?
No.
It's not even a rule. He wasn't running. He wasn't pushing the pile. He wasn't going for extra yards. Nope. He had two guys on him. He was being tackled.
And it's like forward progress. Out.
It's like, what does that mean? No. So, yeah, I'm with you.
It was a ridiculous call. And that horse collar call.
That was horrible. His hand was flat on his chest plate.
Yeah.
It wasn't even grabbing onto his jersey. It was right here on his chest plate. Was not around his neck collar. Had nothing to do with that. It was right here.
No, that's just back officiating all the way around.
Yeah.
And I was just so disappointed. I normally don't get nervous, but I was like, the refs are going to cost us this game.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, it's a hell of a time for the NFL to figure out what the hell a catch is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, because it was a solid catch that dude made from the other team. It really was. But, I mean, my God, like, they would have called that back. Oh, it's not a catch because he, you know.
He bobbled it on his index finger and it didn't have a ring on it. Yeah, so
look, I'm telling you, when I have a ball, like, I can go like this and still have a control over it.
Yeah,
you know, like.
No, it was just ridiculous. Another thing I was worried about was Godwin, man. And I think he's only had 4 drops in his career. He had, what, 4 or 5
today?
He had
6
today?
Tonight. 6 tonight.
6 tonight. Yeah, ugh,
had 5
God,
in a row.
Yeah.
4. He had 5 in a row.
Yeah.
The playoff jitters, maybe? I don't know. What?
I don't know, man. I mean, I have had that happen to me once in a flag football game.
Oh,
where,
okay.
Like, my hands are good. Like, they're better than good. Like,
Look at that.
I'm the guy. What are you shaking your head for, Brent? You have no idea.
His hands are like his eyesight.
You and I have never tossed a ball. I have no idea how good your hands are.
What are you shaking your head for? What are you shaking your head for?
At the sheer hubris, Red. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have good hands. Excuse me. Am I allowed to say that in the 2020s? I'm not just like okay.
Go ahead.
Hey, how's your handwriting? If I don't say it's terrible, does that make me a jerk? Is that what's going on?
Yes. If you don't have horrible handwriting, you ergo are
awful. Like, it's illegible, and I didn't go to school for 8 years to deserve it. I'm just lazy. It's terrible. But anyway, I just kept, there was this one game where I couldn't catch the ball. I couldn't catch the ball. But I also don't get paid like $6 million a year. Yeah. You know, I was out there all by myself. All by myself, not making any money. But anyway, I regress. I have no idea what happened with Godwin, but I have full confidence it will not happen again.
No, like, I can't see. I can't see a repeat of this with Godwin. Like, he's too good.
Yeah.
For this to, like, something had to be awry. Like, I don't know. It's just abnormal for him to drop this many balls.
Mm-hmm. For anybody.
I remember Mike Evans had 1 year when he dropped a lot of passes, but after that, I mean, I was, he cleaned that up, but I don't know. I was worried a little bit. I normally don't, but I was a little worried today. Refs is going to cost us this game, but we pulled it out. I'm glad there's another week of Bucks football and another day for me to drink a lot of bourbon. So
there you go. I like it. Hey, what's your bourbon of choice? I'm a Kentucky boy. What's the bourbon of choice?
Kentucky. Lately, I've been drinking this EHT stuff from Buffalo Trace Distillery.
Oh, Buffalo Trace. Yeah. I'm an old Woodford Reserve guy. I really am. That's my personal
nice.
Favorite.
Look at you.
I know.
Blanton's.
See, I don't make Rendax money though, so I mean, I can't get the Blanton's.
You're rolling in that pewter cast dough over there, Ren.
A bottle of Blanton's will last me like 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I no one knows this. I quit drinking, by the way, like over a year ago.
Oh, yeah. How responsible.
Well, it's more like you're pissing everybody off.
You're pretty good with that sober, though. So
I know. So you can imagine. So just imagine me, like, starting my fifth Blanton's at the bar. Like, it wasn't pretty.
Oh, good gravy. But no, I'm glad we got the W, and I'm glad that we get, again, another game of Bucks football. Hopefully not against the Saints, but, I mean, just take whatever we can get.
There you go. Big Fudge, you got anything else before I let you go? Man, I still got them lining up on me here.
I know you got people lining up outside like it's a club on ladies' night, so I'll let you guys go.
All right.
I love you guys. Go Bucks.
Get to it. We'll see you next week. All right, Big Fudge.
Yes, sir.
We'll do it. Ren.
Thanks, Fudge.
We already know that this is an international podcast tonight. We've had one call from the UK. We have another one now from Australia. Beeves tuning in. It is dawn. It is day. What time is it in Australia? It is full on daylight down there.
It's 3:30 in the afternoon.
Nice. I got to tell you, the Australian accent's my favorite accent in the whole world, man.
Thank you. Yeah, we get paid out for it all the time.
There you go.
I get Irish is my favorite.
There you go.
But there's something I always say, like, everyone calm down. The world's not going to end today because it's already tomorrow in Australia.
There you go.
Well, I'm ringing you from lockdown. We got locked down a couple of days ago for three days to try to avoid some COVID. So, yeah.
There you go. Well, good news.
So I'm only allowed to leave the house for a second.
We've had some COVID on the podcast, but it doesn't go through the internet.
I'll have to wipe my phone screen.
You're good. Beavs, what's on your mind tonight? Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning first playoff game in over 18 years.
I know. It's been a while. I mean, even wearing my old retro jersey, you can see the Super Bowl patch on there.
Yeah.
No, it was good. It was just a shame. It wasn't as clean as what I think we were all hoping for.
Sure.
Godwin.
Let me ask you this: are we at a point now with the Buccaneers where if the team doesn't come out and have, like, you know, no drops, everybody's catching an interception, the secondary is not shutting down every wide receiver that's out there, the defensive line isn't shutting down the run, that we're going to be unsatisfied with the game regardless if we win or not? Like, are we at that point as Bucks fans?
I think our expectations are a little bit higher than what they have been in the past. I mean, but I think Wirfs and, I mean, even Donovan Smith played well. I mean, it wasn't pretty, but he got his job done, you know? So
Listen, Donovan Smith played well enough. Hold on. Donovan Smith played well enough. They brought him to the podium for a post-game press conference.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they only do that with the guys that, like, you know, did well, right?
I was a little disappointed with the constant trying to pressure the QB. I think they needed to just ease up a little bit. Trying to go for him constantly was probably creating a bit of fatigue, and he was seeing that every time and dancing around him. And so I think they need to adjust that for next week, because I'd say we're playing Drew Brees, so he'll be the same. Like, I mean, obviously he can't move as well as Heinicke, but he'll shred us to pieces. So I think I'll adjust. It'll be interesting to see how we go next week. Ren said, I think we'll be in New Orleans in the dome. So I don't think the Bears will trouble them too much, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, and I have full confidence a defensive game plan will look different than it did from today. And it'll definitely look different from it did from the second Saints game when we got embarrassed on national TV. What was it, like 31-3? But, you know, you're right. The expectations are kind of high and kind of through the roof. And since I think this is where I am with Bucs fans, and I do it too sometimes. It's like, what, since we only watch the Bucs mostly, you know, so we don't really watch like all of the Chiefs games, or we don't watch all of the Steelers games. So we don't see the games where like I didn't watch the game where they barely beat the Falcons, like, you know, just a week ago, or where they barely beat the Chargers, like in week 7, you know, like they had to come back late. And those are games, like, I'm sure Chiefs fans are like, what's going on? But, I mean, they went 14-2. But we watch a lot of college. And so we see, like, Alabama just beat the crap out of everybody. Clemson just beat the crap out of everybody. So that, in our minds, that's what, like, a great team does. So it's sort of this thing where, since, you know, on Sundays, Buck fans are watching Buck games, not the other games, but on Saturdays they're watching these, you know, college football teams just, you know, rake over everybody.
Yeah.
And subconsciously we think, if we don't see that type of performance from our professional football team, then it's like, you know, it's back to the drawing. But, you know, all teams are like that. I'm sure, like, you know, I'm sure Buffalo is having these same conversations. You know, it doesn't matter how good you are in the big cities like New York, Chicago, with big radio markets. Like, these people, that's what fans do. So I understand Brent saying, like, it's never going to be good enough. But we, sorry, excuse me. It's also boring to come on here and be like, hey, like, survive in advance. What do you think, everybody? See ya. Have a good night. Like, there's some things we need to talk about. So,
sure.
Yeah. You know, defensively, you know, going back to what you said, like, I definitely think it's all gonna change for what we see. I just hope that whatever they pick works early, and they don't have to change it, you know, somewhere halfway through the second quarter, or change it at halftime. But I don't think, honestly, this Bucs offense is really clicking. And this was supposed to be, the, you know, defense, like Washington, they had never let anybody score over 20 points,
right?
You know, and this and that. And we put up over 500 yards and 33 points. It's really 31, but we missed two extra points. And then, and also went 1-for-4 in the red zone and put up over 30 on this defense. And I know it was Atlanta twice, and Detroit, and Minnesota, but you saw the points we put up on these guys. You know, this team has, like, to finish the season from the second half of the Atlanta game, I think they punted 3 times, did a victory formation, 1 interception, and scored every single other time they had the ball. That's 2.5 games. That's insane. So, you know, we're in it, man. Like, it doesn't matter who we play. It doesn't matter which defense we face. It doesn't matter how bad our defense plays, honestly.
Yeah.
We're going to be in every game.
Right.
And, you know, it's going to be fun.
I want to remind people of this because this still holds true. I tweeted this out during the game last week. Fun fact, with every game that the Buccaneers this year have scored over 24 points, they've won. And now in 9 of their 11 wins, they've scored over 9 of their 12 wins over the season, they have scored over 30 points. Yeah. So, you know, Ren, we talked about it. I don't remember if it was last week during the PewterCast Live or if it was during the Buck and the News show. You know, we used to say it was a race to 40. Now it's a race to 24.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
the new NFL. Just give us 24 and we'll win.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Excellent. All right. Yeah. Beavs, what else you got for us, buddy?
Oh, no, that's about it. I just wanted to say good day. And, been listening for about 5 years now, 4 years. And,
oh, man, thanks so much, man.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
You're that one listener.
Yeah, I've been pretty.
Actually, we've got a pretty good contingent down in Australia.
Do we?
Yeah, we do. Yeah we've got a really good contingent in Australia. And New Zealand, too. Like,
So people my age around the late 30s, early 40s, when the Bucs were good, that was when we sort of cable TV was making its way down this way. So we actually got to see them. So I've been on board since 95. So,
So we usually ask this question. So what was it that made you a Bucs fan all the way out in, Australia?
probably because I rang you guys a couple of years ago, but it was and spoke about this. But where I grew up in Australia is probably the Tampa equivalent.
Okay.
So yeah, place called Townsville, military town, on the ocean, tropical. The rugby team was pretty crap too when they started, so had a lot of similarities. So my wife's actually from Charlotte, so I've actually been over there for a few times. I went to the first game. End of 17, we played the Lions, the Detroit game in Tampa. I went to that one. It was really good. You know, being a fan for, you know, 20 years or so, and then finally getting to go to a game was really good. People were making comment about my accent, like, where the hell are you from?
You're right.
Yeah, but yeah, no, go Bucks. But yeah, thanks for everything you do, guys. I really appreciate it.
Beavs, man, thanks so much, man. No, and thanks for listening so much, for calling in.
Hey, no worries.
And shooting out. So no, one more thing to say to you before you go. Aussie.
wait.
There you go. Talk to you later, Beavs.
Have a good one, guys.
Talk to you later, Beavs. Oh, got him out a little too early. Beavs, thanks so much for that. Ren, let's head back over to the phone lines one more time before we jump in over here. We still got a couple more people lining up here in the video chat. Caller, you are on the line. Thanks for waiting for us. Who do we got here?
Hey, yo, it's Chris from Northwest Georgia.
Hey, Bruce, what's going on, buddy?
Chris, sorry. But no worries, man. I've been listening to you guys for 3 years, and I've only called in like three times at a time. I will, real quick, though, two quick things. One, Brent, I just want to say thank you, man, for the podcast. Like the first guy said, you know, I'm up here in Northwest Georgia, no Bucks fans, college town, and it's nice to have this, even if we don't call in, it's nice to be able to talk to Bucks fans, not just talking heads the whole time afterwards. So you left that for us to make us feel like we have our family, even when we have no Bucks fans around us. So I want to say thank you, because that's what this means to me. Outside of that, the only thing I want to bring up is I did not realize how badly we would actually miss Devin White. I know a lot of people don't like Shannon Sharp and the other guy that's with him, but there were so many close calls of us sacking the Washington quarterback, and I realized that we have to blitz a lot, and Devin White gets there so much that's our identity. We can't stop the deep ball. Our defensive backs are not as good as we would like them to be. So when we have a game like this where we're not getting there and we're missing Devin White, one of the best sackers, like linebackers in the game, is getting to the quarterback, I just didn't realize how important he was and how that easily causes teams to carve us up. I just want to get your thoughts on the impact of Devin White, like seeing him outside of the game, like not being there, and how bad that was. That's pretty much it, y'all. I'm going to go, but I just can't thank you, Brent, for this podcast, and I hope you know your journeys after this is great. I mean, go Bucks.
There you go. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thanks, Brent from Georgia.
Chris.
It was Chris.
Chris from Georgia. Yeah. I swear. I thought I heard Bruce. Hilarious. I think my ear was still tuned to the Australian accent. So like I was having trouble like
talking, I thought he was an Australian accent.
Yeah, like I was having trouble adjusting back to the to the English accent. So
you want me to answer that?
Yes, please go ahead and answer that. Yeah.
We talked a little bit about it. You know, and it's not that Devin White is so crucial to this defense. Now he is an upgrade for you know, Kevin Minter, because he's just more athletic. He can cover a little better, which is, you know, it's hard for me to say he's a better blitzer, he's faster, he's a better tackler most times. I think he's a better tackler, but I think Minter is going to be in a better position more times than not, more times than Devin White would be, or not out of position as much as Devin White would be, I would say. But this game was just kind of tailor made for him. Like, this would have been a game where, you know, it's like, don't, you know, Heinicke runs for a couple of first downs and Ty Bowles says, don't let that guy beat us, because Devin White can drop back, you know, 10, 15 yards and take away the throwing lane. As soon as Heinicke takes off, he can close that distance so fast and turn those 12-yard runs, you know, where he's outrunning everybody to the sideline and breaking angles, you know, on Minter and Devin and Levante David. He just wouldn't do that against Devin White. So like those 12-yard runs become like 8-yard runs or 7-yard runs. And now they're not first downs. And now instead of like first and 10, it's third and 2. And it was just a game, like I said, earlier, it was tailor made for Devin White. And I think if we play the Saints, which everyone thinks probably will, I think it's going to be another tailor-made game for Devin White from what Todd Bowles has started to do with him since the bye week.
Right.
Drew Brees can't, you know, pressure up the middle is worse for a mobile quarterback. You come around the outside, he can step in the pocket. If there's nowhere to step up in the pocket, then that's going to be a problem for him. You know, like, but the Saints are going to have an answer for it. Let's face it. The Saints defensive line's a bad matchup for the Bucs offensive line, though I'm more confident going into it this week than I would have been for what I just saw against the Washington football team. Because they played great, you know. Still, Larson's going to be a problem,
right?
But it's something we got to fix. So,
do you think Larson's our game plan? I mean, I guess he is. If he was the guy in tonight,
I think from Larson's game, they're going to try to fix it,
like bring in somebody else.
Yeah. Like they're going to try to find somebody that they've known. There's some veteran out there that's, mm-hmm. you know, on some kind of practice squad, just kind of being a COVID guy that has right. played with BA at Pittsburgh, or, you know, with the Colts, or, you know, with the Cardinals, kind of like an AQ Shipley.
Sure.
You know? Sure. Yeah, so, you know, somebody like that, sure. you know, we've seen a bunch of times. Like, they brought in Buchanan. They brought Buchanan back this week.
Yeah. They did. So. They definitely did. Well, Ren, we've got a couple more people here lining up. I want to get – this is going to be a first on the PewterCast. I don't know that we've ever brought in – we've been saying for this year, you know, everybody's welcome into the show, right?
Yes.
Whether you're a fan of the Buccaneers, you're a fan of somebody else. This is a person who is not a Bucs fan, I don't believe. But they've always been really great in the chat room and have been faithful in coming over to the chat room. So
we'll
bring in, I'm not sure what his real name is, but he goes by the moniker No Saint. Assuming a Saints fan. keeping my finger on the boot button. But we'll take a risk on you, brother. Talk to us. What you got? You've been waiting for a long time. What you got for us? Yes, sir.
Listen, I want to first say congratulations. You know, it's a great weekend for the NFL. All three games were really good to watch, really fun to watch. Nothing was boring. Mm-hmm. I know you guys were a little nervous in that game, which I would have been too if it was the Saints. Listen, this is what I want to say to the Bucs fans as far as the game today. I remember the Saints went 10-6, I think, one year, came second in the division, had to go face Seattle at 7-9 out in Seattle and got beat and got drugged. So you never do take a win for advantage. Don't say, well, we just beat Washington, they snuck into the playoffs, because it's a playoff game. That is an important step. You know, it really is an important step to win that first playoff game. Mm-hmm. You think, I don't like the fact the Saints are playing 8-8 Bears tomorrow. I mean, I think we're going to win, but the Bears have nothing to lose. The Bears aren't supposed to be in the playoffs. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying is that was an important win for the Bucs. Now, the fact that if we win, if the Saints win tomorrow, your guys are coming to play us. Luckily, you don't have fans in the stands, so that's not going to be a problem.
Right.
I don't expect it to be anything like that second game that we played you guys. I think it's going to be a really close game.
Hey, can I ask you about that real quick?
Sure.
What is your assessment of what happened in that second game? Like from your side, because that's a fluke.
Sometimes you get in a game like that and just everything goes wrong and the snowball starts to go down the hill and there's really nothing you can do right. I mean, once you got down a certain amount of points, the whole game plan got thrown out. I don't know what the defense was doing. Drew Brees was on target that game. Mm-hmm. The game, you know, it was just a bad matchup for whatever reason, it just wasn't a good matchup. It was one of those ones where I sat back and was like, oh my God, I don't have to sweat this one out, you know? And obviously it was really big for the Saints because it put us up in the division, mm-hmm. you know, where we don't have to, we get our first couple of playoff games if we win tomorrow at home. But the Bucs have improved since that game. Looks like Antonio Brown has been coming on.
So
listen, my whole thing is this. I usually, when a team beats my team and knocks them out of the playoffs, and I know you guys are obviously you're rooting against the Saints tomorrow because you want a home game and all that. I get that. But I really, if the Bucs were to knock the Saints out next week, I would root for the Bucs because I really can't stand the Rams for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate the Packers.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
So even if you guys knock us out next week, I'll still be in your chat, you know, and I'll root for you. I really will because I have no reason to hate the Bucs. I realize the Bucs probably don't like the Saints as much because for whatever reason, the Saints have always given the Bucs a tough time.
Yeah.
Even the year you guys won the Super Bowl, that was like our best two games I think we played that year, mm-hmm. you know?
I really hate Cam Jordan and I don't like Sean Payton. Other than that, I'm actually kind of cool with most of the rest of the team, but those two guys really rub me the wrong way.
That's interesting because Cam Jordan, I don't know. He's pretty, well, I guess if I was on the other side, maybe I'd feel the same way.
He's a cheat. He's a cheap shot artist.
I thought you would hate Lattimore more than you would hate Cam George.
No, because Mike Evans takes care of him too much. We're good. We're good.
But no, I just wanted to congratulate you. That was great.
Man, thank
game.
You so much.
And, you know, I'm glad. And I love your show. And I hate that, Brent, you're leaving. But I understand your reasoning. I heard when you said why. And
yeah.
I guess Ren will have to step it up next year. I don't know.
But. There you go. Well, I am just as curious as the rest of you guys as far as what Ren's going to do come this offseason.
I watch a bunch of shows from different teams when we play them, and you guys are very well balanced, you know, and I think you're honest about your team, and that's what I like, and that's why I enjoy watching you.
Well, thank you. We've always said it is okay to be biased for your team and still provide accurate analysis.
There you go.
And call it for what it is. And I just want to say thank you for being really that model person, you know, that can go into another fan, be who you are. That's fine. And just not be a jerk. Like we can, we can be rivals, but not enemies, right?
Yeah.
We can be rivals, absolutely, but not enemies. And that's cool. And we
I got
that,
nothing. I got no problem with you. No saying. I got a problem with Sean Payton and his punchable face, but that's just because he beats us all the time. If we beat the Saints as much as the Saints beat us,
right,
I wouldn't hate Sean Payton. I'd be like, stick around as long as you want.
Yeah.
There's certain teams, like for us, it's like Minnesota, right?
Yeah. I mean,
that just had our number forever, and you just hate them.
Oh, God.
You're always rooting against them, you know?
Yeah. But Minnesota and the Rams right now. Yeah.
I'm like that with the Eagles right now, honestly. I'm still like that with the Eagles, and it's been years. I can't stand
always,
the Eagles.
Yeah. And always Dallas. I'm always rooting against
always
Dallas.
Always Dallas. Yeah.
But anyway, good luck, guys. All right, see you next week.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we'll definitely see you back over in the chat room. Ren.
No Saints, my new co-host. Breaking.
Hey, listen, you want to take the show in that direction? That is, but I know you're just joking when you say that, but I always say do something nobody else is doing. And that would certainly be something nobody else is doing.
Podcast with two Saints fans.
So, no Saint. What do you think about the Buccaneers versus the Rams?
No Saint, old time Saints fan. What should I know about being a Saints fan?
All right, Ren, we got one more person waiting lined up here in the chat. Let's go ahead and bring them in. And then you said you had some news. I don't know if you want to talk about it on tonight's show. Oh, you were joking? Okay, I was going to say, I don't know if you want to talk about it tonight or if you wanted to save it for another time. But let's go ahead. Kyle Driver.
What's up?
What is up? Kyle. Big super chatter joining us in the video chat now. Talk to us, brother. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Washington football team.
My thoughts on this is, like, as far as having Brady as our quarterback versus, you know, the last three or four quarterbacks that we've had, I have enough trust in him in this offense that if we play some bend don't break defense to where we give up some passes, sort of like the last drive of the game where they're kind of getting some first downs, you know, they're kind of get something going. I kind of feel like this team is complete enough and we have a good enough quarterback that I know that we will score if we give up a little bit of yardage or a couple points here and there. Like you say, like when the last couple weeks in this play, the last couple weeks of the podcast, it's like, you never truly feel like the Buccaneers are out of the game, especially with Tom Brady throwing the ball.
Yeah. You know where I finally find myself is I'm in a spot now where if the Buccaneers get the ball back and there's a minute left on the clock, I'm pretty confident that Tom Brady can take this team, march down the field, no matter how long they have to go, and they could score. I'm confident he could do that. I'm not saying he will every single time, but I'm confident that he could do that. So you're right. Like as long as we're within that one score and we can get that ball back one more time, you know, you're still locked into it. Still locked in. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. Plus, I think it's pivotal the Bucks get a lead. I think they're great front runners.
Yeah. Red, really do you think that means is it now the right choice then you think to take the ball at the beginning of the game?
No.
Still not.
It's never the right choice.
Okay. Cuz I mean that's why they did it. That's why BA said he did it against the Falcons or Detroit or Lions or maybe he's done it a couple weeks in a row. I don't know if they won tonight or if they lost the toss in Washington deferred. I'm not sure.
I missed it too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, no. I mean, again, I'll never get off that because it's the only way to get it's the only way to steal a possession unless you get a safety.
Right.
You know,
right.
They have to, you get 2 points, they give you the ball. But like I'm telling you, 2-for-1 is the thing, man. It's the new 40.
I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but like in my 20 years or so of watching Buccaneers games, it just like depending on how the defense plays in the game, you kind of have this dread of like, oh Lord, how many points are we gonna give up? So it's nice to have a defense that you trust. As much, I almost trust them as much as the Super Bowl defense.
Ooh.
It's getting pretty close to that. I mean, there's still some pieces that need to be fixed, and there's still some things that could be worked on. But if we make a deep run, I think they could look like that Super Bowl team.
Here's where I am with that. No, first off. But I think that defense is capable of playing to their as well as that Super Bowl team did for a game or two or a half. You know, not 10 years in a row, you know, so I'm with you on that. And it's not so much of those guys, the 2002 Dungy guys against these guys, you know, Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles guys. It's the NFL has just changed so much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you need pass rush. It's all about pass rush now. Your linebacker's got to be smaller and they got to cover. And you need three corners. And one of your safeties got to have to be able to play also slot. Like, these are things that all NFL teams need all of a sudden.
Right.
Because they're going 4 or 5 wide. And every team's got a guy that runs 4-3 now. You know, every team's got a tight end that's really just a wide receiver that's 250 pounds, but runs a 4-4 and they're 6-6. Every team's got one of these freak guys like Metcalf. We got Howard. I know Metcalf is not a tight end, but I mean, Metcalf is a ginormous human that can run almost as fast as Tariq Cohen. And it's 5'10" Vernon Hargraves ain't going to cover the guy. Like, Brent Grimes can't do it. So you need these long rangy guys. And so everything's sort of morphing, and we'll see, you know, if a team like, Tennessee, Tennessee made the playoffs. If a team like Tennessee or Baltimore continues to have success by just out beefing, because all these teams now have these linebackers that can run. And if they line up two tight ends and a fullback and a power running back, and then you have a quarterback that also can pull the ball and run and, you know, ram the ball down these guys' throats, then slowly the NFL will start to change back to where it was when we were going up, but then it'll change again. But right now, man, it's like, it's 7-on-7 out there. And there's no good defenses anymore because the offenses are just too good. They have just too many athletes. The quarterbacks the offenses are too complex. They're too prepared. You could have Chase Young could stand where he normally stands and run at Tom Brady as fast as he can, and Tom Brady will get rid of the ball 6 out of 10 times if he knows he's coming and complete it. And that's no one's in his way. Like, it's just a real tough game now. So I know I kind of went on a tangent there, but yeah, I'm with you. I think that the defense has the capability to play, you know, the 90s and 2000s defense, but not consistently, not right now. But but I'm with you as far as like, we're not going to be out in any of these games. And if you want to play bend, don't break, that's fine. Because when we get the ball, we're going to score. You know why? Because we've shown it over and over again. And we're going to put up 30. Why? Because that's what we do.
It's not like the last two seasons where we had Winston, where it's like you feel like you got to put up 40 in order to stay in the game because, you know, the defense isn't going to hold.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, I mean, yeah, exactly. Because how often did we watch over the last bunch of years? And I'm not trying to get back into all that, but, you know, we would give the ball to the defense and say, hold it. All you got to do is stop them, right? Like, and we didn't. Yeah, and I mean, that's not to say that offense didn't have its problems or give it away either. But I agree with you. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm gonna go back. I'm glad to have that guy that I'm pretty confident in with 1 minute left on the clock.
Right,
we can do anything. We can do.
No
anything.
One's playing better offense in the NFL than we are right now. Nobody.
Kyle, nobody. I want to get your thoughts looking at a potential upcoming rematch against the Saints in the Superdome. What are your thoughts? They've already beat us twice this year. Is Tom Brady going 0-for-3 against the New Orleans Saints? You know, are the Bucs trending up and the Saints trending down? Where are you on all that?
Like, I'm pretty much with everybody else on this. I think it's going to be closer. I think I would like to say we have a pretty good chance of winning, but right. I don't think it's going to be a 40-3 blowout again. I really don't. Mm-hmm. This team is really starting to play very well. Like you said, if we can get the drops. If we can keep Godwin not to drop in the next game, which I don't think is going to happen.
No, complete outlier.
If Evans can stay healthy and not have any knee issues, then
if he can keep Marshawn Lattimore out of his head.
Right. I don't think it's going to be like the Detroit game where everybody gets a touchdown, but I would like to see, I think Godwin and Evans will at least get one.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing an Oprah game against the Saints.
Right, right. Yeah. Especially after losing to him twice in 1 year.
Yeah. And look, here's the thing.
I really want the Saints because I want to end Drew Brees' career.
Yes.
They've given him more and more money up front and are paying for it more and more in the back end. As soon as he retires, they're gonna have to pay the piper, and he doesn't get it.
Yeah.
And I want to be the team that knocks them out of the playoffs where Drew Brees doesn't get his second ring because they've gone all in 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
And have put themselves in financial hell time after time after time after time. And I want to be that team. I just want to see Sean Payton, the Drew Brees face when he hits triple zeros in the Bucs.
You think Taysom Hill's going to play at all as quarterback, like some weird trick?
No, I heard he was out with COVID. I heard he got slapped with the COVID and he's out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's Brees' back and Jameis' number one backup. That's what I have heard in the chat room tonight. So I have not confirmed that through other sources. I just want to put that out there. I'm just saying that's what I saw floating around in the chat room.
I never want to feel better about a game because somebody's out. But
sure.
Oh, I don't care.
Having Taysom Hill in would be a very good advantage.
Look,
it would because when he comes in for trick plays against the Bucs, they seem to work.
Right.
Yeah, like all the time, and that sucks. So I hate Taysom Hill too.
Yeah.
I hate the Falcons more than anybody, but
the Falcons. The
Saints, I'm not a fan of the Saints either.
It's always funny to me, like which division rival different people pick. Like some people pick the Panthers, some people pick the Saints, some people pick the Falcons, and then people pick teams that aren't even in the division.
It's the Panthers, but Cam left, so I'm back to the Saints. The Falcons are just too pathetic to hate.
Well, my uncle was in the military for like 30 years, so I spent a lot of time in the Carolinas, and my cousin's a Panthers fan, so I don't really hate them too much.
Okay.
I used to live there, and they were cool people for the most part, you know. But I tell you this, understanding that if the Bucks wind up playing the Rams next week, that means it's a home game, and I'm for the home game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? But there's a huge piece of me that's right there with Ren and you, Kyle. I really like if the Bucs really want to take that king of the NFC South crown to beat the division champion in the division round of the playoffs in their house. It's sort of that beat the man, you got to beat the man. Like to come in and do that, like that would be the thing that would put the capstone on. And I like what Ren's saying. I wouldn't mind ending Drew Brees' career like that either. That's the rivalry in me. So, there you go.
If we don't beat the Saints and we end up beating the Bears and then we go all the way and win the Super Bowl, you know what they're going to say? Well, you didn't beat the Saints.
We didn't beat the Saints. Right. Exactly.
Well, it's because
they'll pull a UCF.
We tried.
Yeah.
Right.
They'll pull the UCF. Well, you know, we beat the Bucs twice, so that makes us the Super Bowl champions. That's what they'll say.
Print up the license plate.
Yeah, they'll print up their own rings and everything. They'll do all that. Kyle, you got anything else for us before I let you go for the night, man?
Yeah, I will say I did say that, you know, when we beat the Eagles at the beginning of the season when they won the Super Bowl, I was like, all right, 2-0, Super Bowl champ. We beat Super Bowl champs, and then it kind of
from there. Yeah, then Pittsburgh Monday night happened, then Chicago happened, and that was that.
Yep.
Yeah. That's my final thought. You just remind me, Ren. I'm just glad DeSean Jackson's gone. That's it.
Yeah. Is that going to make more money for not playing than anybody?
I just don't like his attitude. And I didn't like the fact that he would tank games when Jameis was in.
Darrell Revis.
Yeah,
true. More money for not playing Darrell Revis.
Well, I'm going to miss you, Brent. Hopefully we get a few more of these before you go. And you guys have a great night.
Thanks, Kyle. Appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, Kyle. Thanks for always being there.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking care of that, Ren. All right. Well, Ren, thank you for that too, Ren. I'm dropping this over in the chat. Craig sends us in a super chat. Our good friend Craig from Vegas, wearing a Goofy mask or perhaps a Mickey Mouse mask. I'm not really sure which one it is. Says the GOAT is coming back. Will Brent follow? Will Brent come back? No, I won't. No favorite covered today. Enjoy the W with the GOAT. Anything is possible. Stop playing the soft zone, Todd. Please, Todd Bowles, we know you listen to every podcast here of the PewterCast. Please stop playing the soft zone. We would appreciate it.
Ren, unless it works and we win. Go ahead.
Ren, we got our final caller of the night. Calling right. in. Caller, who do you got? Who is this tonight?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to say really quick, Ren, you suck.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
My dad called.
Is that your dad again?
Yeah.
Ren, your dad's on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get him back on his meds.
What do you need, Poppy?
Yeah, there you go. All right. Let's see here. Red, let's move over to Skulls and Swords for the game. Let's talk about that as we wrap this sucker up. Skulls and Swords, who do you got? Who are you giving it to? I'll remind everybody out there, Skull is the bad one. Sword is the good one. Go ahead and drop those over in the chat room, and we'll get those going here. Ren, who do you got for us tonight, Skulls and Swords?
Skull. Who am I going to give my skull to? Oh, man. You know, every time this always catches me by surprise. We do it every week.
Unless we forget.
I'm going to go with my sword. You know what I'm giving my sword?
Tom Brady. You're giving it to Tom Brady.
I'm giving it to Ryan Suckup.
Whoa.
Clutch kits, man.
Whoa.
Made them all.
No, but he dinked one.
Made most of them. No, he didn't dink one. It got blocked, didn't it?
Or got blocked. Yeah, that's what it was.
He didn't dink it and it got blocked. Yeah, that's not his fault.
Yeah, off of Ted Larson? No.
Maybe. Maybe. So I'm giving mine to Suckup. He went 4-for-4 on his field goals. And my skull, I don't think SMB had such a terrible game.
They said Justin Watson gave up the block on that. Do what now?
I'm just trying to think like who to give. I'm not going to, you know what? I'm not going to give a skull.
You're not
going to playoff game. We won. Like, I mean, Larson's obviously would be the pick, but you know, I don't want to give anybody a skull. You know, smoke a victory cigar on the way back on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Screw the FAA and their stupid rules.
Right.
And yeah, man, you know, everyone enjoy. Everyone contributed.
There you go. There you go. I'm going to give my skull. I'll go to the bat. I'm going to give it to somebody. I'm going to give it to Sean Murphy Bunting because, damn it. I know he had the interception, but that does not make up for everything else in the game. And you know why you didn't notice Carlton Davis in this game at all? Because he was doing his job. They weren't throwing to him.
I noticed him.
You noticed him?
Mm-hmm.
Was he any good?
Mm, better than Sean Murphy Bunting.
I didn't notice him at all. But yeah,
Godwin's a good skull. Godwin's my skull. Godwin deserves a skull. I know, that if he's built up enough cachet, he's built up enough cachet not to get it, but hell, he almost lost this game.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. That's real fair. Keyshawn Vaughn. Because he's built up enough that if he shouldn't have dropped that many, Kyle's. Thank you again, Kyle. Can you imagine if we still had Roberto kicking? Oof.
Well, hopefully if we he'd be better. Roberto, then he'd be kicking well. So
yeah,
he'd still be here.
Yeah, he'd be better. He'd be better.
But imagine if this was Roberto's rookie year.
Oh my.
Yes.
Oh my. Oh my.
That would not be good.
Let's go over to the chat room. G Vegas says his sword is going to Evans, well deserved, and Skull is going to Godwin. You know, Evans. I don't think we've talked enough about Evans playing. I don't want to say he played injured tonight because I don't think he was injured, but he was. There were places where he was struggling and where things popped up and you know, gave us a few scares, and he kept through it and powered through it and he did well. So I like Evans for that. Skull going to Godwin. I get that. Sword. Joe is giving the sword to Leonard Fournette. Can we start calling him Leafo or Leofo? Rofo?
Blue Cow?
Blue Cow? No, I was thinking Rojo, whatever his
I'm calling, I got a new name for Rojo.
Oh yeah? What's that?
I'm calling him Bandit.
Bandit?
Yeah. Because if you listen to the song, the theme song to Smokey and the Bandit, it can fit Rojo pretty well, except for the part where they say the boys in Atlanta, the boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and the beers in Texarkana. It's like the boys are thirsty in Tampa and the Super Bowl's in Tampa, and then everything else is fine.
All right. Sure.
We
haven't talked about Leonard Fournette, though, or at least not much. Leonard Fournette had a good game.
He did.
You know, for as much crap as we've given him all year long, this was the Leonard Fournette I thought we would see when they first signed him way back when.
Should have had two long touchdown runs, but hey.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, good job on Leonard Fournette. Joey gives his skull to the Bucs defense, and he gives a bonus sword to Brayton. It was good to see Brayton there.
Yeah.
Was not a catch, was not a touchdown there in the end, I understand, but dang, for a minute it looks like it was.
Not as much as a touchdown as the other guys was a touchdown.
There you go.
It was.
Yeah. You know, listen, I hate some of these rules that they have. Like if it's in a space where you're controlling, just because you're not physically touching it, doesn't mean you don't have control of the ball. Anyway, that's not for this particular, show. Let's see.
Here. Or ever. Or any show.
Or any show. Right. Brian says his skull goes to the defense. His sword goes to the O-line. I like that.
Yeah, O-line. Definitely.
Yeah. O-line did pretty well. No Saint says sword goes to Fournette. And let's hear. Dub says his sword goes to Evans. Skull goes to Godwin. We've seen that. Oh, my gosh. It all moved on me. There we go. Oh, super chat from Lap. Skull goes to our defense and sword goes to TB12, the GOAT, with the super chat. Thanks for shitting that in, Lap. You know, we talked about that earlier. Sometimes you try not to give it to people like Tom Brady just because.
Oh, he's great again. Who really deserves it?
Right, right.
It's like who normally doesn't get it played well enough to get it.
Right. Well, I always compare it to like who's your favorite character in this series of books or TV shows or movies that's named after the lead character. Okay, Harry Potter comes to mind. Who's your favorite character in Harry Potter? Almost nobody will say Harry. Mike Evans will say Harry, but nobody will say Harry. It's got to be one of the other people. I find that's kind of the same case with like the GOAT and or Tom Brady and Sirius Skull.
Black.
Yeah.
Right. Well, every female under the age of 30 will say Sirius Black.
Everyone, huh?
Everyone, every single one. Ask your wife.
Okay, I will. Jam says his skull goes to Godwin. Says Whitehead would be good for a skull too. Whitehead did not look his best.
He made some big tackles.
Huh?
He made some big tackles.
Did he?
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Sword goes to Mike Evans. Buck Time says that. And Brady. Let's see here. Clarifying us on the hill. Saint is playing. There is no COVID. So cool. Then I stand corrected.
Fake news. Yeah. Fake news. Taste smells good.
There we go. If I'm missing anybody's skull, I like this one. Skull for Dungy for cheering for the Redskins.
Yeah, right. At one point, I think like it was a Taylor Henneke news network or something.
Right.
He said Taylor Henneke 1 million times.
Uh-huh.
Like at some point, you got to stop being amazed and then just start criticizing what he's doing.
Right.
Like he would complete a pass. Like I can't believe he completed that pass. It got to be too much. Where I felt like that whole third and fourth quarter, they didn't talk about the Bucs at all, who never lost the lead.
Right, right. Well, it's like you remember when the Bucs signed Antonio Brown and they spent like an entire quarter talking about Antonio Brown, who wasn't with the team yet.
Yeah,
like he wasn't in the game, wasn't even dressed.
Wasn't there.
Yeah, that right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They talked about it before a commercial, came back and talked about it the whole entire Bucs drive.
Mm-hmm.
Went to a commercial, came out and talked about it a little bit more. And I was just like,
yeah, yeah.
Wow.
One more sword and skull. L. Peter or I. Peter says sword goes to Brate or Fournette and the skull goes to Larson and Godwin.
Yeah,
definitely understand.
They both get half and half.
There you go. So, well, Ren, I think that's going to do it for us for tonight, man. Buccaneers.
Double edged sword called skull splitter.
There you go. The skull splitter.
Because you got to give half a skull to.
It sounds like a video game thing. The skull splitter, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Red, listen, Buccaneers win. Look, I got to tell you, as I'm sitting here looking down the gun at what is at any moment, any week now, my final game, my final PewterCast live. And so many of you guys out there have echoed so many compliments and I appreciate it. And please keep them coming. No, but look, it really is great to be able to connect with other Bucks fans, whether it's a win or a loss, to be able to come together and, you know, this is kind of a hangout. Some people call it a therapy session. I've kind of liked to start thinking about this like sort of a post-game party. It's the post-game party. Yeah. We're all hanging out and talking about our favorite team. And, you know, you guys are awesome.
When you win 11 games, the name, the field it's changes. Better.
It does. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. It's like, I kind of want more. I kind of want a few more of those. Anyway, so thank you guys. Thank everybody for joining. Everybody who's downloaded the podcast feed later, or maybe you're watching us the replay on YouTube. Hello, and thank you to you guys as well. Ren, thank you to you for being here and being so steady all of these years. Why don't you tell the folks where they can find you out there on the internet?
Rock, steady, Eddie. Your team ain't even ready. Rock. Steady. Rock, steady, Eddie. Your team. UGL Rowdy.
If you want to get in touch with me, you can find me at REN_DAXT. But
rowdy.
If you want to put your take out there and it's too hot to put on blast, you can slide into my DMs And I'll talk Buccaneers football with you there as well, too.
Did you say at Rendax underscore?
Yeah, I did. I did.
All right. I couldn't hear it. At Rendax. Best place to find me is on Twitter, at Rendax underscore D-A-X-T or R-E-N underscore D-A-X-T. I'm always down to talk Buccaneers football. But if your take's too hot and you don't want to put it out there in the Twitter sphere, feel free to slide in my DMs and I'll talk Buccaneers football with you there as well, too.
I don't know if this is an echo chamber. I just had the world's worst case of deja vu or what. If you guys want to get
Eddie, your team ain't even ready.
If you guys want to get in touch with me, you can find me at Brent Allen Live across all the social medias. And the show is at The Pewtercast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can email us to thepewtercast@gmail.com. Hey, guys, listen, we'll be back with you next week or later this week for all the stuff. Buccaneers alive for another week, most likely playing the Saints. Could be playing the Rams at home. Who knows? We'll see you guys next time. We'll talk to you then. And until next time, as always, fuck Bucks fans. Wow, you could mix that one up real fast. Go Bucks.
What's a metronome?
You know, it's the little clicker thing.
Yeah, I know what it is. Oh, I just wanted to get that in at the end.
What's I see. Somebody donate rent a metronome.
I am a terrible singer.
I'm a Washington fan, but I can appreciate other teams. Congratulations to the Bucks. I'd like to see a Mahomes-Brady Super Bowl this year. That'd be cool. All right. Oh.